Okay. Special welcome back to everybody. We're about to embark upon a new Masechta, Maseches Bava Basra. So before we begin, I can tell you one thing, one guarantee, that we will not finish Maseches Bava Basra. It is 176 plot. So at the rate that we're going, if we get six plotted, that would be a great accomplishment. So we'll see what happens. So let's begin with the opening Mishnah, the first of the Mamakomos. So I already have to apologize because the person who's doing the Makoros this year is a new, different Bachar, and he didn't realize that you have to number the Makoros themselves. So hopefully by the second set of the Makoros, they will already be numbered, so we'll be able to make easier reference to it. But at least for the first ones, bear with us. So the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra, on the first paragraph, the first of the Makoros, begins with the following halacha. Hashutfin shirotzu lasos bechitza bechotzer, bonin es hakosa beemtza. So just in case you're not sure what the Mishnah is even talking about, don't feel bad, because the Gemara for the first two blot is also not quite sure what the Mishnah is talking about. The only thing that we know that the Mishnah is talking about is some kind of partners, two people who own the chotzer, they own the courtyard in partnership, and now they want to make a mechitza in that chotzer. Now, the Gemara says, quite frankly, we're not even sure what that term making a mechitza means. The Gemara has actually two different possible interpretations of the phrase latzos mechitza. One phrase is, mechitza means, like it means in most places, a wall. So what the Mishnah would be telling us is that if the partners decide to build a wall in a chotzer, then they have to build a wall in the following manner, and that's what the Mishnah is going to do, to elaborate, but how that wall has to be built. If that is the pshat of the Mishnah, then the Mishnah is in effect telling us that as long as they haven't actually agreed to build this wall, nothing in halacha is requiring them to build this wall. So if you have two partners, they own a courtyard in partnership, Reuven cannot force Shimon, neither can Shimon force Reuven, to build the wall. If they agree to build the wall, then they have to build according to protocols, guidance of X, Y, and Z. But nothing per se is forcing them to build a wall. Why in the world would one have thought that there's something that's compelling them to build a wall together? Because there is a concept in halacha called hezek, called damage, a little bit of throwback to Bava Kamma days a few years ago. And one could argue that the mere fact that two partners are sharing a courtyard, there may be some hezek that is taking place. What hezek is taking place? Well, the Gemara coins the phrase hezek re'iya. The mere fact that I'm looking over my shoulder to see what's going on your side of the courtyard, you're looking a little bit into my private side of the courtyard, maybe that's a claim in halacha called hezek re'iya, and maybe just for the mere fact that we have a courtyard together, I can insist, I can demand that you build a wall. So that's what, according to one interpretation of the Gemara is, the Mishnah is telling us that's not true. That don't think that's the case. The only time that Shutfin can force each other to build a wall is if they agreed upon it in the first place. That's one way of reading the Mishnah. The other way of reading the Mishnah, the Gemara says, is Hashutfin Shirotza Lasas Mechitza. Mechitza doesn't mean a wall. Mechitza means to split. If and when the partners decide to split up the courtyard, they no longer want to be partners. Reuven wants to have his side, Shimon wants to have his side, then the halacha superimposes that they must build a wall. Why must they build a wall? Guess what? Because of hezek re'iya. Because otherwise, each one is damaging the other one. So there is no question that there is a wall taking place in this Mishnah. Mishnah says, Bozikos Bemtza. That's not a question. The question is, what was the Mechayiv in the Dimamunus? What got this wall started in the first place? Was the wall being put up? Is the halacha requiring the putting up the wall because the parties agreed to it at some earlier date? Or is the halacha superimposing a chiyuv to put up the wall to avoid any complications of hezek re'iya? So that part of the topic, which is really the main Dimamunus part of the topic, we're not going to talk about today. Not only we're not going to talk about that today, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that is the ninth of the sugyas, if I'm counting, on the Marmakomos. So you could do your math. I put this somewhere between Thanksgiving and Hanukkah time, when we're going to come back to this fundamental question of hezek re'iya. But there are so many other things that come our way before we get to where the Gemara actually tackles this question of hezek re'iya, that We have to really, really put this in the back burner. But just again, in terms of taich and learning the Mishnah, there are two ways to read the Mishnah. But according to both interpretations of the Mishnah, there is some requirement to build a wall here. And now the Mishnah goes on to tell us how this wall is going to be built. So the Mishnah actually tells us two pieces of information. One is bonus akosa be'emtza, that the wall has to be built in the middle. It has to be built on both partners' airspace. One cannot demand of the other, well, yeah, you want a wall? Go build a wall on your side of the courtyard. No. Bonus akosa be'emtza. It has to be in the middle. And number two, the Mishnah is going to tell us that there are certain standard materials that have to be used to build this wall. I can't say Reuven decides, okay, no problem, I'll build a wall, right? I'll put up a wall made of a piece of paper. So Shimon has a right to say, you can't do that. You have to build me a wall according to standards, according to code, X, Y, and Z. So the Mishnah now digresses a little bit. And again, we still don't know why we're building this wall in the first place. Was it agreed upon? Or was it Hezekiah that's compelling them to build this wall? But Tachlis, whatever is forcing them to build this wall, the Mishnah goes on to give you a long, long tutorial about how to go ahead and build a wall. So the Mishnah continues. Malkom Shinaga Livnos Gevil, Gozis, Kfisin, Levainin, Bonin. If the wall is built, it can be built from Gevil, Gozis, Kfisin, and Levainim. So just in case you're not sure what those four things are, you're not in such bad company. If I saw Gvil, Gozes, Kfisin, and Levainim, I wouldn't know what I'm looking at. But it has something to do with different kinds of building materials. We'll make it very, very vague. This size brick, that size brick, the Gemara spells out, these bricks are thicker bricks, these are thinner bricks, these are smaller bricks, taller bricks, different kinds of bricks, stones, wood, whatever the case may be, which are used. And the Mishnah concludes that Kol Kibinik HaMedina. How do you know whether this wall should be built with material X or Y or Z? Whatever the Olam does. So you go take a little bit of a survey, you ask around a little bit, you go to Home Depot and you ask, well, what do most normal people, when they build a wall in the middle of a courtyard, what do they build it based on? So the Mishnah says, I call Kibbutz Medina. And then the Mishnah gives you a little bit more of an understanding about how to build these walls. Gevil, if you're choosing brick such and such, this quality brick, Zen Nice and Gimel Tefachim, Zen Nice and Gimel Tefachim. So then there's a certain standard where you have to, I can't build a wall that's a half an inch thick, it's going to fall down. So again, either because we made a formal hischaivus, we accepted upon ourselves to do it, and therefore we have to keep our word, or because the halacha superimposed an obligation of Hezekiah, I have to build a wall, and a wall means certain material, a wall means certain size. If you're using material X, it's got to be three tefachim and three tefachim per partner. If it's gozis, then also tefchaim and mechza, then also tefchaim and mechza, etc. It's 2.5. If it's other material, it's 2. If it's other material, it's 1.5. Again, the Mishnah gives you an entire list of what building material you're using, how big this wall is going to be, where the wall is going to be situated. These are all the halachas of Binyan HaKoysel, opening words of Maseches Bava Basra. So there is something very, very difficult about this Mishnah. There is a principle in this Mishnah that goes well beyond the intricate details of putting up a wall in a courtyard. This touches on a fundamental principle that governs so much of Dinim Amunos. And as we're going to see time and time again, Baba Basra is a type of a Masechta where there's a lot of details. There's a lot of technicality, there's a lot of Metzius. That's what Baba Basra happens to be, one of the harder Masechtas. There's a lot of Metzius that we're not even so familiar with, even this Mishnah itself. And we're talking about Gevil and Gozis like we know what we're talking about. We don't really know what we're talking about. But we have to try to almost like carve away some of the Metzius, get away from some of the nitty-gritty, you know, intricacies of how to build a wall, and try to extract what the halachic principles behind this are. And this is a perfect example of really what we're going to be trying to do for most of the year. We're talking about building walls and three tefachim and two tefachim and bricks and stones and all this kind of stuff. But there was a very, very basic problem, very almost like an internal contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Because the Mishnah said three words, which is, of course, it's the dead giveaway, it's the name of the sugya, Hakol Kiminik HaMedina. The Mishnah said, if you want to know how to build a wall, so just figure out what does the Olam do, whatever the Minik HaMakom is, that's what you have to do, Hakol Kiminik HaMedina. If that's the case, that ultimately Hakol Kiminik HaMedina, so why in the world does the Mishnah waste its time by giving us and telling us, oh, by the way, you could build this brick or that brick or this brick or that brick, and it's got to be three tefachim and two tefachim and one. Forget the Mishnah. Forget Bava Basra. If the two partners want, they have a din Torah, how do we build this wall? One screaming one way, one screaming another way. Why did the Dayanim have to waste the time in opening up of Basra the Bays? They should put in a call to check out the Home Depot website and see what do people do? What's the Nog Shabayalam? If the Mechayev in Dinim Amunus, if the details of Dinim Amunus, how to build this wall, are determined by Kol Kibinig HaMedina, so why does the Mishnah bother spelling out a whole series of quote-unquote objective criteria, just how big and just what material this wall is going to be? So this is the opening question that all the Rishonim are bothered with. So comes Tosfos on the second of the Maamar Kamos. Once we get to Maamar number 20, it's going to be harder to keep track, but number 2 is pretty easy to find. So in the second of the Maamar Kamos, towards the end of the first line, Vim Timer. Why does the Mishnah have to bother telling us how big the gvils are and how big the gazis' walls are? Came to Tananakol Kibinig HaMedina. K'mo shenagu, k'en yasu. Whatever the minig is, that's what they should do. Says Tosfos v'yesh lomar, the inagu yoser mivav b'gvil lo yaseh. Comes Tosfos and says, no. Hakol Kibinig HaMedina has a break to it. It's not always true. What if, says Tosfos, there would be a bizarre Minig HaMedina? You know what the Minig HaMedina is? Everyone in Teaneck, when they build walls, they'll build 30 feet thick concrete walls. That's the Minig HaMedina. So now I come to a Din Torah, Reuven and Shimon come to a Din Torah, and Reuven screaming at Shimon, you are mechuyev to build this wall with me, you have to petitza, you have to contribute to this wall. Why? Back to how we started the sugya. Either because you agreed to build a wall, or because the halacha dictates to avoid Hezekiah. So Tachlis, Reuven screaming at Shimon, you have to build this wall. So Shimon says, okay, I'll build a wall. I'll put up a half a brick, 3 tefachim deep, I'll make a 3 tefachim thick brick wall. And Reuven says, no. Let me show you the Home Depot handbook. And where we live in Teaneck, it's 30 feet thick concrete walls, reinforced concrete. It's a whole story. That's the minute. That's what state in the Mishnah. So Shimon says, you're nuts. So what have to build such a big wall for? The squirrels are going to knock down the wall? Who's going to knock down the wall? Nothing. Why do we have to waste so much money to build such a thick wall? So that's the minig. So comes Tyson and says, Shimon has a right to say, the minig is nonsense. Shimon has a right to say, indeed, Mamanus, I don't have to follow the minig. That's why Chazal put the cap on and said, Minig HaMedina is important, yes. When you're within the realm of normalcy, when you're within the realm of minhagim that are acceptable, that are logical, those kind of minhagim are willing to accept and we're willing to enforce in halacha. But a kol k'minig HaMedina has a limitation to it. The limitation is, if it's something which is so bizarre, something which makes zero sense, such a minig is not binding in halacha. So comes Tosfos and says that this idea, it's not limited to Bava Basra the Beis, but this is something that can have ramifications throughout Dinim Amunus. And for example, let's take a look at the end of the second of the Maamar Kamos. Rabbeinu Tam says, this is the very, very last line, U'mochich mikan, there's a quote from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam proves from this sugya, D'yesh minhagim, she'ein l'smeich aleihem, that you don't have to rely upon. Now again, minhagim here, we're not talking about what nusach dam for the yomud. We're not talking about waiting 6 hours to place it. We're talking about minhagim and dinim mamonis. We're talking about the principle of dinim mamonis, hakol k'minig HaMedina. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it's not an all-inclusive principle. Yesh minhagim she'ein l'smach aleihem afilu hech nistan hakol k'minig HaMedina. Even in halachas which say hakol k'minig HaMedina are not absolutely true. Not only do we find already an exception to this principle, Kol K'minig HaMedina B'Mabasa D'Aveiz, but this is something that permeates other Masechtas and other sugyas as well. Similar style appears in Masechtas Bava Metzia. If you go down to the, I have to count off myself, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth of the Maamar Kamos. So there's the Mishnah in the beginning of the seventh parak of Bava Metzia. Haseich Res HaPolim, a person hires workers. And he says to the workers, I'm expecting you to come very, very early on the job. I expect you to stay late. So again, if they signed the contract that he said, we're coming at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you agree, you can do whatever you want. But if there was nothing explicitly said, And now the boss, the Balabayas, is turning around to the workers and saying, listen, I want you here at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the workers say, what do you mean? People don't come to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, the Balabas says, I'm insisting that you stay in the office, you stay out in the fields till 10 o'clock at night. And they say, but everybody else leaves at 6 o'clock at night. So comes the Mishnah and says, so if the minig is shlo l'hashiv l'harv, in a rush l'chofen, so the Balabais cannot force them to change for what the minig hamokom is. So when you agree, when you hire workers, it's understood that you're going to follow what the standard protocols in that place. Then the Mishnah continues. Mokom shinagul lozun, yozun. If the minig is that the Balabais provides food for the workers, so then the Balabais has to do that. He must provide them for lunch. If that's what the Nog Shabbat Olam is, that you have to feed your babysitter. I don't know. If that's the minig, you have to give them lunch. So you can't turn around and say, no, sorry, go buy your own, go pay for your own lunch. Whatever the minig HaMokom is, L'safik V'masik. Yisafik, if the minig is to give a little coffee break, to give a little cake, to give a little nosh in the middle of the day, if that's what everybody does, HaKol K'minig HaMedina. So whatever the Nog Shabbat Olam is. So comes the Gemara, and the next Gemara comes, Andaf Pei Vav Amid Aleph, and says, HaKol K'minig HaMedina, HaKol Asuye Mai. What is this coming to include? What does this phrase mean, HaKol K'minig HaMedina? To include what? So stop already the Gemara. Penalty marker down the Gemara's question. What do those words mean? HaKol Asuye Mai. Lasuye, whatever the Minig HaMedina is. It almost makes it sound from the Gemara that HaKol K'minig HaMedina includes certain things, but doesn't include other things. And the Gemara goes on to explain to you what it is coming to include, that one of the workers usually eat the food in the Balabais' house, and now the Balabais says, I want to feed you outside. And the Balabais says, I want you to come 5 minutes early to eat breakfast. Whatever the Gemara goes through the interview without learning Bamatsiya right now, Halavai, learning Babasa right now, the bottom line is, from the mere fact that the Gemara opens up this discussion about what is included in HaKol K'minig HaMedina, leads us to believe that not everything is included in HaKol K'minig HaMedina, that there are limitations in the realm of Dina Mamas. So we already have two different statements of Chazal, one of Bava Basra vis-a-vis building walls, one in Bava Metzia vis-a-vis feeding workers, where on the one hand, we have a principle called HaKol K'minig HaMedina. It's understood that whatever the Olam does, that's what has to be done. That's what has to be done. On the other hand, we are getting vibes from Chazal that statement is not all-inclusive. That there are scenarios out there in halacha where we don't necessarily follow the Minig HaMokom. We don't follow the Minig HaMedina. If the Minig HaMedina doesn't seem to make too much sense, then we're not mechuyev. So let's say there would be some bizarre Minig HaMedina that you have to do X, Y, and Z to your parlor. The Baal Bayis has a right to say, I'm not going to follow the Minig HaMedina. I'm not bound in halacha by the Minig HaMedina. So, l'chora, we have two very, very important principles that are beginning to play out here now that are going to impact the many, many shas of the Imamunas. And we really have to take a step back and understand the lomdus of them. Because again, as we said, in Bava Basra particularly, there's a lot of mitzvahs, and you have to kind of cut through to the real heavy-duty lomdus here. There are really fundamentally two questions that are playing out now in terms of lomdus. One is, what is the binding force of HaKol K'minig HaMedina? Where did that come from? Why is that binding in halacha? So let's say, for example, Reuven and Shimon have to build a wall. Okay, so we understand, we're not sure we understand, but the Gemara has two possibilities to understand what is compelling them to build a wall. Either they are compelled to build this wall because Hilchas Hezek dictates that way, Ma'azik v'nizuk, Hezek R'iyah, is something that the halacha reckons with, and therefore Hilchas Nezikin, Hilchas Shechenim, Hilchas Nizke Shechenim forces them to build a wall. So I understand that. Or even if you hold Hezek R'iyah as Lav Shmei Hezek, they made a kinyan, they made a eschaivos, they obligated themselves to do it, so therefore they have to follow up on what their obligation was. I understand why they're building a wall. But I don't understand what Reuven has a right. Where did Reuven get a right in halacha to say, I insist on the wall being 6 feet thick because that's the Minig HaMedina? Why can't Shimon say, I don't want to follow the Minig HaMedina? Vishdeitin and Torah, you have to follow the Minig HaMedina. So we know that all of halacha has to go back. We have to find some kind of a makor for this idea. Where did it come from? What is the mechayev of following the Minig HaMedina? Is it a pasuk in Chumash? I don't recall in Parshas Mishpatim anywhere saying, whenever there's a machlokes how thick to build a wall, you got to follow the Gamadina. Whenever there's a machlokes to Baladin, how to feed the poly, we got to follow. I don't know where that comes from. So it's probably not a pasuk explicitly in Chumash. Is it something, some drasha? Is it some Tosh Bapeh? Is it a Lach Mosire? Is it a Dirabonon? I have no idea. I don't know where to even start with. I know that it exists. Hakol Kabinim Amdin. It's a Mishnah in Baba Basra. It's a Mishnah in Baba Metzia. It's a principle that governs the Imamunas. We've seen it before. So we know it exists. I have no idea where it comes from. And if I don't know where it comes from, it's hard for me to understand what it's all about. Number two, a second Lamedish question is, wherever it comes from, it's not all-inclusive. There are limitations to it. Limitations we already saw. Baba Basra da Beis, Baba Metzia da Peivav. It's not as all-inclusive as we would have thought it was. So otherwise we understand the sugya perfectly. We're absolute clarity, except for the fact that we have no idea why we're following it in the first place, and we have no idea why we're not following when we're not following. But otherwise, we got a completely down path. So we really, really have a lot of work to do. So let's take a look at page 2 of the Maamar Kamos. There are two Mordechais that appear. The Mordechai was a Talmud of the Maharam in Ruthenberg. He was a contemporary of the Rosh. Mordechai was killed al Kiddush Hashem. So the Mordechai, in the second one of the Mordechais, the Mordechai Maseches Bava Metzia, begins to give us a little bit of an inkling as to what this is all about. Where did HaKol Kabinim Amdin come from? And once we understand where it came from, maybe we can understand why it's not always present. So comes the Mordechai in the second of the Maamar, second on the paragraph on page 2. Quotes at the end of the first line, Kasa b'sefer Or Zeruah. So the Or Zeruah was a Rebbe, just for reference point, historically, Or Zeruah was one of the Rebbeim of the Maamar in Ruthenberg. So this was the Mordechai's Rebbe's Rebbe. So the Kasa b'sefer Or Zeruah. Kegon shu mine kavua. So first of all, the Or Zeruah is telling us who starts the Minhag HaMakom in the first place. Where did Minhagim start from? Who determined what the Minhag HaMakom is? So first of all, it has to be started by smart people. Now, I don't think he means smart people, just people who have a high IQ. He means Tamid Chachamim. It has to be a Minhag that is a quote-unquote, a Torah Dikah Minhag. It has to be something that has its roots in a Torah perspective. That's a minhag hamakom. Can you amina b'maseches sofrim? She'ein halacha nigvas ela ad she'ehei minhag v'zeu she'ama minhag mevatel halacha. That's what the phrase is. There's a very misunderstood phrase in Chazal called minhag mevatel halacha. Minhag mevatel halacha doesn't mean, well, the minhag hamakom is to be mechal Shabbos, so you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. That's what it means. Minhag mevatel halacha means that you have, let's say, Ndidi Mamanis. So if not for the fact that the minhag would be such and such, the halacha would have said you could do the following. So, but if there's a minhag, hamakom, in Ndidi Mamanis, so sometimes that will alter what the pure objective halacha would have been. So comes the Mordechai, in the name of the Yosru, and says, Perush minhag, there's a little bit of typo here, Perush minhag vasikin. It means a minhag of vasikin. Here, Vasikin does not refer to the guys with Davin Shachar since 5:20 in the morning. That's not what Vasikin means. Vasikin means here, Chachabim, means Tzadikim, means people who made the Minhagim, who started the Minhagim in town based on Torah sources. How do I know that's what it means? From the next line, about Minhag She'ein Lo Rayim in HaTorah, but a Minhag that has no Torah basis. A bunch of guys got together and decided, gee, by golly, what a great idea to have the following custom in some monetary case. He says that he's making reference to a Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin that there are two different kinds of mistakes that a Beis Din can make. Sometimes a Beis Din can make a mistake what's called a Torbid Bar Mishnah. It means they partially forgot the Mishnah. You forgot to know in the first place. It means the Mishnah says one thing and they say something else. That's an outright toast mistake. That's just ridiculous. Then there's a little bit of more of a nuanced mistake. Torbid Shikol Hadas. It doesn't say explicitly what to do, but if you learn the sugya properly and you think it through correctly, you'll come to the conclusion this is what should have happened, and the dayanim didn't do the due diligence, and they made a mistake, an error in judgment. So it wasn't an error in fact, like that's a Torah mishnah, it was an error in judgment. So comes the Mordechai and says, if a Beis Din is going to try to superimpose a minig of non-minig chachamim, that's a mistake. That they have no right to do that. The kama minhagim guruim, the loaz lina basrayim. It says the...
What
So comes the Mordechai and says that there are many minhagim geruim, very shvacha minhagim, very low level minhagim that we don't follow. Because why not? Because they're not minhagi chachamim. And who does the Mordechai make reference to? Kid befarish rebetam arsuki, bebasaga bechoki bechamedina, gabegvil vagozis, etc. So here we've now connected the dots. We now know what kind of minhagim are not followed. A minig that was not nikva, that was not started, that was not developed by chachamim. Stop. This is what the people do, the hamon of the street do. That's not a minig. A minig has to be started api chachamim, and has to be started in something that has some kind of shaychos to Torah. But even though we have a little bit of an inclination now as to which direction to go in, we still have not answered that two questions. We still don't really know what is ultimately the mechayiv of a minig. Just because rabbis are telling us to do it, it doesn't mean the Torah is saying to do it. If the Torah is saying to do it, it's not a minig, then it's a halacha. So it's very nice to call it a minig vasikin, chachamim, and rabbanim, and tabricham. It's all wonderful, but tachlis. Push comes, what do I have to follow it for? What is the mechayiv to follow a minig hamokom, even if it was nosad, even if it was instituted by tamin chachamim? So we still have to fine tune a little bit. But at least when we're in the right direction, we're going to try to discover what the mechayiv of minhagim is, and then to try to understand why certain other minhagim you don't have to follow. So we have a little bit more work to do in terms of understanding what minhag hamakom is all about, in order to finally put it to the proper perspective. This really, I'm sure it's the olive base of Dinim Hamanus, this basic principle of Dinim Hamanus, the minhag hamakom does play a role. Why does it play a role? How do you define a minhag that plays a role? Which minhagim don't play a role? So hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll try to flesh out a little bit more this first sugya of the Basra.
The Home Depot doesn't matter.
Well, we're going to see. We may come back to Home Depot soon.
See, I wanted to connect it to Mordechai to our sugya. I would just say minhagim, minhagim halacha has to be.
Okay, yeah, but he's talking. But he himself.
I know, but he connected it too. And I would just say, if you assume the link to it, what's the das? What's your das?